I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. It'll be jam-packed with information as usual. We'll be talking about extraterrestrial as well as extra-dimensional influences on American society, and a little bit of a trip down memory lane with some of the great yoga masters that have had an impact on our development here in North America particularly. And we'll also be talking about some hot tips on reality creation and getting into some practical advice with respect to creating excellent health. And before we get into all of that, we'd like to start the show in the usual manner by doing just a little bit of Japa Yoga. And that'll be a mantra repetition of the Hari Om mantra as led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda leading a little bit of Japa Yoga, and that clip was from back in the 1970s. And certainly Sri Swami Satchidananda had a big impact on North American culture. I'd like to, at this point in time, take the opportunity to thank the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. I do this on a regular basis because it's sincerely felt by me, much appreciative of the listeners of ET Yoga. And as Bashar would say, you're already making the optimum difference just by being you, and others become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. And I'd also like to give special thanks to the ET Yoga audience members who do email me and make suggestions about program content or that have questions about material that's presented on the programs. And you can always email me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I'd like to take this opportunity to give my normal disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for those new listeners to ET Yoga, you should know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And that's kind of in conjunction with a statement made by Dr. Schultz at the American Botanical Pharmacy. And his famous quote is, you get hit by an 18-wheeler, you might have to go in and get sewn up, but then you might want to also get out of there as fast as possible. And I guess that's pretty much the same advice I get people. And that's in line with the concept of becoming more self-empowered and autonomous and being more in control of creating your own excellent health as well as creating the abilities to deal with issues as they arise. And certainly the more you know about self-empowerment, the more you know about self-realization, the more you know about how the world actually works, the more you do know about health issues, how the body works, and how to deal with concerns as they arise. So again, my accolades to people that do have the courage to distance themselves as much as possible from mainstream medical. I'd like to state that when I got the idea for tonight's program, it kind of came from a question a friend of mine asked, which was, what were my two favorite movies? And I said it was Dr. Zhivago and It's a Wonderful Life. And It's a Wonderful Life is the one I'd like to focus on this evening because if you haven't seen that movie, it kind of is about a guy that grows up in a small town and always wants to travel the world, but circumstances kind of lead him to always be the one left behind. His brother and friends go off and do all these exciting things, and he kind of views his life as kind of a depressing situation. Even though he does get married and has a couple of kids, he kind of feels trapped in this small town and gets to the point of a crisis situation. And he's led then to actually see his life events from the perspective of if he had never existed. And kind of gives him a lot of insight into the fact of how many lives he actually touched doing a lot of the very commendable activities that he was involved with and helping people in this small town. And also, in the end, gave him a totally positive viewpoint of his entire life. And kind of the moral, as I look at it, is that, you know, the same events from one perspective were depressing, but from another perspective were very exciting and enthusiastic and positive. And it also kind of connected me with information from Esther Hicks, who talks a lot about telling your life story, and telling your life story sometimes needs to be changed, because as it turns out, the habit of thought, it develops beliefs, and it's based on what we see and what we experience. And certainly when you start getting involved with certain types of reality creation, it's hard to manifest if your habit of thought is counter to what you say you want to manifest. And I guess the trick is to start caring more about how you feel, and to tell the story about your life, not the way maybe it is, but how you want it to be, until you believe the new story. And I think that's a really critical point. And especially when you feel negative emotion, because then your thoughts are, you know, really counter, you know, to what you really want. And you must know that you are source energy. And you can ask yourself if your higher self would have these negative emotions, and then try to act in alignment with your higher self. And as Bashar would say, follow your excitement. And because it's a good idea to make that the source of your attention, because excitement does not create negative emotion. And another angle is from Sri Swami Satchitananda, which is to keep your peace. And actually, it turns out that peace and excitement are very close in vibrational frequency. And if things around you are not pleasing you, then you need to change the vibration you're putting out to the universe. And I think this is, again, part and parcel of this whole idea of why be involved with reality creation. Well, as it turns out, we definitely are creators. We're creating whether or not we consciously do so. And that even begins with all the beliefs that we download from our initial caregivers. And that's the first phase that I call phase one of three parts with respect to reality creation, because it's your beliefs, your intentions, your emotions that basically create the external world that you experience. And in fact, Esther Hicks, that's H-I-C-K-S, actually goes so far as to say, when she's channeling Abraham, that everything that anyone is experiencing in this reality is in response to the story they're telling. And I'm going to repeat that, because I think it's really the key line, that everything that anyone is experiencing in this reality is in response to the story they are telling. And I guess that's kind of goes back to the whole idea about thinking about things that make you happy. And also paying really close attention to how you're feeling. And I guess it also goes back to this idea that you want to start telling the story about your life, not necessarily the way it is, but the way you want it to be until you believe the new story, because, again, you definitely can create a conflict if your habit of thought is developing beliefs that are in contradiction to what exactly you want to manifest. And if something's not working, it's always the same problem. It means that you're throwing resistance on your own trail and not realizing you're doing it. And the vehicle is negative emotion. And I guess that kind of all goes hand in hand with creating positive emotion. And in relation to that, I think the best information that I come across with respect to creating positive emotion is with respect to what Marilyn the Magician talks about when she talks about Excalibur. The most powerful magical sword in all the land was handed down from the dawn of man. Two-edged sword of truth. One edge calls forth the flow from your power source, and the other cuts it off. Will you call it forth or cut it off? Young Arthur innocently approached the sword and swiftly freed it from the stone without hesitation. He had no expectations of failure, for he had no fears about the outcome. His power was in pure play, not in the torment of twisted possibilities. No yearning there, simply wonder, what if? Those who failed to free the sword came to the scene with great seriousness and anxiety. They were trying to use physical force for their power source, rather than allowing the force of the source to be their power. When you feel negative emotion, the sword remains stuck in the stone, for you have cut off the flow of your creative life force towards where you want to go. The sword of truth is freed from the stone when you feel positive emotion. When you choose to think thoughts that lift your spirit up, you lift the sword from the stone. You allow energy to flow through you to those things you desire. You have attained creative control of your kingdom. You are the monarchs of universal source, the creators of your own royal destiny. The inner realm is where you create the outer world. Wield your sword with the light of love and awaken to a life of living happily ever after, for this is truly your royal birthright. And if you haven't come across Marilyn the Magician, you can do so at the Creating Camelot Club. And it's definitely a fourth-dimensional website. And Merlin the Magician also resides there in part. And there's lots of interesting free articles there at that site as well. Very interesting to check out. And that's at Creating Camelot Club. And more information that comes from Creating Camelot Club is attention seed sowers. Know that every image you hold in your mind will be made manifest through you, for you cannot separate who you are from your source energy. What you say is so, for these are the seeds you sow, and in time you shall reap the harvest thereof. It is spiritualization of matter. Birth to earth after seed takes 9 months. Once planted, you can't see the seed, yet it is taking form. Know that seeds of images and ideas must grow. Allow them to mature in the medium of time and have a good time while they do so. Allow yourself to bask in the knowing that it is growing. With that kind of seed sowing, you will reap a plentiful harvest. You created time so that you could have a grace period between the thoughts you think and the manifestation. Believe me, you do not want instant manifestation when you launch your creation. If every thought you had was equal to itself in experience instantly, you would be overwhelmed with contrary creating. You came here to fine-tune your creative ability. As you design new things in mind, projecting thought that has never been, you are expanding and evolving all that is, eternally. What an undertaking. You are the courageous ones who came forth to materialize spirit into denser forms. And since this process is unfolding throughout eternity, why not surrender to the joy of the journey? It is the way that will take you to where you want to go. Others cannot create for you or make you feel anything. Others can influence you, but you are ultimately in creative control. Since your thoughts determine your experience, be deliberate in choosing them. Look at the word liberate within deliberate. You are liberated to experience your full potential when you deliberately think thoughts. Therein lies your power, for you determine how you are feeling by what you are thinking. If you think joy is hard work, you are validated in that thought. If you think it is easy to feel joyful, the universe demonstrates that to you. Simply pay attention to what you are paying attention to, because the universe is always paying attention to you. And those are words from Merlin the Magician's book, and it's called Merlin's Message. And I find that certainly paying attention to thought is in itself a very, very powerful tool. And certainly we should be spending more time in our imagination, or as Bashar would say, I magi nation, that we are a nation of magicians. And, of course, the whole concept of ET Yoga is all about connecting extraterrestrial information, extra-dimensional information, with that of some of the great yoga masters, and thus the marriage of ET and yoga. And on ET Yoga, we use the term yoga to mean union. And that union is union of you and your higher self. And so certainly it all comes down to a search for enlightenment or self-realization. And I know many listeners to the ET Yoga program have had this personal experience where they have had the planting of the seed and realized that there are higher levels of consciousness and that we have the ability to attain them. And once you have that information alone, it's kind of impossible to forget it. And in spiritual realms, it's called the planting of the seed. Once the seed is planted, the seed's going to grow. And I'd like to share with you, I guess, some of, certainly not all, but some of the major influences that have come across North America, and depending on your age or which generation you're connected with, you may or may not know about some of these interesting spiritual influences. And certainly one of the most powerful was Paramahansa Yogananda, and he was primarily based in California. He was the founder of Self-Realization Fellowship. And as I understand it, I think the first fellowship was founded back in about 1920. And certainly self-realization has had a huge impact on Western culture. And on the East Coast, of course, there was Sri Swami Satchidananda, and he was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institute. Interesting to note that his Integral Yoga, which comprised of six different branches of yoga, was almost identical to that taught by the Essenes, and that was back in, 2,000 years ago. So interesting to note that these branches of yoga certainly have survived over the ages. And Another influence that I think maybe a lot of our younger listening audience may never have heard about was that of Richard Alpert, who was a professor at Harvard, who was, I guess he was kind of known for being associated with Timothy Leary and was involved with some experimentation with LSD and went to India and actually found himself a legitimate spiritual teacher there. And Baba Ram Das's guru was Neem Karoli Baba, and he was also associated over there with Baba Hari Das. And he brought back a story, and after he started telling people the truth at Harvard University, he kind of got canned from there, but became rather famous in North American folklore for his book, Be Here Now, Now Be Here. Came out in about 1971, and it was actually interesting because through his experience over in India, kind of triggered off some of my first spiritual experiences, because he had mentioned this technique of the Who Am I technique, and it actually was in a small newspaper at the time called the Georgia Strait that was printed in Vancouver, British Columbia. And that's where I first became aware of this concept of the Who Am I technique. And it's one that I will share with our listening audience tonight at the end of the program. But the amazing thing here is that for me, it was the first time I did the technique, kind of just went through the doorway and had an experience of being one with my higher self for a period of several days. And I think that after that experience, I came across an interesting influence, and that was from Sri Ramana Maharshi. And if you don't know about Sri Ramana Maharshi, he's considered by most very advanced yoga masters as certainly a person to spend time with or visit. And Sri Ramana Maharshi wrote a book called The Path of Self-Knowledge. And if you've had the experience of being one with higher self, then you can also tell that his descriptions of that experience were valid. And I highly recommend that book, which is called The Path of Self-Knowledge. And it was also during the 70s that material came out from Jane Roberts, and it was called the Seth material. And I personally think that it's one of the real foundations of what I would call extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional information that has certainly impacted American society and world society, because this information really spread. And I'm going to mention some of the concepts in that Seth material, because they're highly important. Number one is that physical reality arises from consciousness, not the other way around. That we create our own reality. Interesting concept, especially considering this came out in the 70s, and this is like pre-Bashar. I believe Daryl Anka mentioned that he'd been channeling Bashar now for about 33 years, so somewhere around 1984 or so was a lot of the Bashar material came out. I believe the Ra material was the first books that came out there on the Law of One was around 1984. And even Barbara Marciniak. And Barbara Marciniak did her book, Bringers of the Dawn, and I believe that was also around 1982, so to 84, somewhere in that period. So this Seth material really predates all those other influences. And if you haven't read Bringers of the Dawn, I know you can get a free copy of it online, and that's Barbara Marciniak, Bringers of the Dawn. And I always say that I consider that like the classic text when it comes to your initial experience, let's say, with extraterrestrial information. It's a great book, in my opinion. And like I call it the classic ET text, I call the Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda the classic yoga text. And certainly this Seth material was definitely new information for our society at the time. And it also mentioned that we are multidimensional beings, more than our physical bodies, and that time and space are dimensional illusions we jointly create and by which we tacitly agree to abide. And at the core of our being, we reside in a realm in which time and space do not exist. We are, in essence, creative spiritual beings having an earthly experience. And we hear this all the time with people are quoting that particular idea that, you know, we are spiritual beings. We are our higher self having an earthly incarnation. And speaking of incarnation, I was listening to a radio show this week, and seemed like the host of the show was kind of shocked to find out that actually reincarnation used to be taught in as part of Christianity. And if you go back to St. Clement and the origin, these were some of the high ups in the Christianity in the 2nd and 3rd century. You'll know that Christianity was indeed very much a centerpiece in original Christian thinking. And it was actually, I believe it was the Treaty of Nicaea, and the Treaty of Trent that took place in about the 4th century in Rome, where Constantine basically rewrote Christianity. And in those councils, they actually took Christianity or took the concept of reincarnation out of the Christian teachings. And you can do your own research on that one. Also, that information has been was confirmed by Yogananda. And the fate of each of us is in our own hands, another one of the concepts from the Seth material, and that we have multiple, perhaps infinite, life experiences, and problems not faced in this life will be faced in another. So again, relating to the concept of reincarnation. Also, from physical matter, we form physical matter as effortlessly and unselfconsciously as we breathe. Telepathically, we are all aware of the mass ideas from which we form our overall conception of physical reality. You create your reality according to your beliefs and your expectations. And, of course, that's very synonymous with Pleiadian teachings and Bashar teachings. That's it's your thoughts, your emotions, your beliefs, your definitions, your intentions that create your experience in physical reality. And in point of fact, you can't even have an experience in physical reality unless you're a frequency match for those concepts and ideas, because that's how physical reality works. And the Seth material also talks about realizing that your physical experience and environment is the materialization of your beliefs. And if you find exuberance, health, effective work, abundance, then take it for granted that your beliefs are beneficial. And again, making a reference to positive beliefs and positive emotion. And personally, I think one of the key concepts of Bashar teachings are to place positive spin on outer circumstances. And the reason for that is that when you place a positive definition and a positive emotional spin on a circumstance, you end up receiving a positive experience from that circumstance. And it's also connected with the concept that circumstances don't come with built-in meanings. circumstances are inherently neutral. And thus, I don't see any possible percentage in placing a negative belief on any outer circumstance. I don't see that there's any positive that comes from that. So that would be a conclusion, I guess. And also kind of related to that is an interesting concept of Bashar's, that you don't have a belief you don't prefer. Now, that's kind of a whopper for some people because I guess maybe they're in denial. But the truth of the matter is that we don't have beliefs we don't prefer at some level, because our whole method of motivation is to gravitate towards the positive, which we determine in terms of a positive experience, which is up more toward pleasure in our perspective of pleasure and away from pain. And so if you're choosing a particular belief, let's take an example of some people who say they want to quit smoking, but they're going to try to quit smoking, and they really don't, because they actually fear that if they quit smoking, some other situation may be coming about, like maybe they gain weight or they become too nervous or this kind of thing. So they actually have a subconscious fear about actually being successful. So the idea here being that the belief that actually smoking is actually more creates more pleasure than pain can be a perspective that that person can have. And many times, sometimes we don't, we may have a negative belief about something because just the feeling of the known is more palatable to us at a certain period of time than the unknown. So again, this is all part of doing our homework with respect to what our beliefs are and why we believe them. And I think that's really a key component, actually, of inner work, is to actually take a paper and pencil and write down what you believe about certain topics. And this, again, will go back to, let's say, maybe some childhood beliefs that you picked up from your parents, let's say, especially around the money issue, because money seems to be on everybody's minds these days. And what did your parents believe about money, and what beliefs do you have about money? And do you have any conflicting beliefs that would be a hindrance when you're trying to manifest? And I might also add that, as Adranus has pointed out, that you want your creations to be in alignment with your higher self. And so maybe the concept of having too much money, or even as most people are trying to win lottery, maybe too much money is more of a curse than a blessing. And you might want to consider that when you're doing your reality creation in that area, by making requests for money in a way that would be in alignment with your higher self, probably will help in the facilitation of manifesting that a lot quicker. And so as I was mentioning about some of these great yoga masters that are around the world. Certainly there are a number of charlatans as well. But in North America, in my personal experience, I find that Yogananda on the West Coast, Satchitananda on the East Coast, and certainly a lot of this new information that's coming about, and I find a lot of it came after this Seth material. And certainly if you don't know about Bashar, that's B-A-S-H-A-R, I would highly, highly recommend that you check out Bashar information, and that's at www.bashar.org. And as I mentioned, the whole concept of Pleiadian information from Barbara Marciniak, and you know, she seems to have a lot of up-to-date YouTube videos. I find them quite interesting. Solara on Ra is another source that I find that just has excellent, excellent videos and meditations. If you haven't done some of her meditations, I'd highly recommend Solara on Ra. And when we're talking about self-empowering activities and concepts, I definitely think that Barbara Marcinarek has a good idea when channeling the Pleiadians, when she says it's a good idea every day to spend just a few minutes to say something like, I'm intending to have a gloriously, exceptionally wonderful year. Financially, I will rise to new heights. Health-wise, I will go to new levels of optimum health. And I'll attract myself to the right people, people of patience and honesty, good friends, and good adventures. And again, here are the connection to creating an exceptionally wonderful year. And I also like the concept of today is the best day ever, and this year is the best year ever. And I really like the fact that I was talking about that back in 2012 when a lot of the gloom and doomers were talking about gloom and doom. And I remember actually being on a radio show when I was asked to kind of participate in all that doom and gloom, and I just made the comment that this is the best year ever, and today is the best day ever, and people, the talk show host kind of had to go to his backup plans and went to all kinds of call-ins and didn't even know where to go from that point. Keep in mind that you don't always have to, you know, follow the herd and outer circumstances. Just because some people think it's negative doesn't mean you need to think it's negative. Even though you may be seen as kind of strange from some people's perspectives. I'd like to now kind of shift gears and go into some very practical things. You know, a lot of times in ET Yoga, we are definitely out there outside the box and talking about things like, you know, reality creation and I guess talking about sometimes areas that are sometimes hard to prove. And with respect to just daily things that you can do that don't cost much money, that can be a really big difference in your life. One of those things is the whole concept of detoxifying your system. And that comes from Bashar, who talks about the fact that toxins lodge in our cells in ways that actually immobilize our immune system. And unlike back in other generations, let's say back in the 50s and 60s when conditions were a lot different. And in fact, speaking of conditions being a lot different, I'd like to certainly give some accolades to that whole 60s generation of people that saw each other as like brothers and sisters. And although they kind of had that concept about tune in, turn on, and drop out, Simon Parks has stated that he said that that whole generation actually almost totally brought the control system to an end because there were so many people who were unconnected with mainstream thinking. And you can see it with your eyes how things have changed since then. We now have a younger generation that I think is a lot more focused on money than probably, I don't know, maybe any of the other generations I've seen. The bottom line here being that I think that 60s influence was probably the first and maybe the only generation that I'm aware of that had the belief that money wasn't the most important thing. and an interesting influence on American society. And with respect to Bashar's thinking about health, he gives actually six foundational aspects of developing excellent health. And number one is around pure water. And in my opinion, whenever I move someplace, the first thing on my list is trying to get a hold of pure water. Personally, now this one is just a little bit pricey, but I do have a Berkey filter, and I like it because I think you can get 64,000 gallons of pure water, without needing to change any of the working parts. You know, you need to clean the filters occasionally, but that's about it. And they, as I recall, was about $240, and I got a couple of special tanks to deal with fluoride. So it was about $300 for the unit, and it's also portable. So you can take it with you on camping, and it's quite I think an effective tool. One of the ways to help you get pure water, you definitely do not want to be drinking tap water and something that's got lots of fluoride in it. First of all, it's probably got 150 different chemicals in that water. Not to mention that it helps to calcify the pineal gland, and in the long run, definitely not good for your health. It's pure water, also being mentioned by the Pleiadians, is high on their list of priorities. So, and we also know from the discoveries by Masaru Emoto, and that's Emoto. Masaru Emoto and the power of water. Turns out water is a perfect reflector of consciousness, and you can actually change the molecular structure of water through positive emotion. And you can go on your computer and search about information. You can actually see pictures of how the molecular structure of water is changed through pictures from under a microscope. And it's quite an impressive display of the impact of emotion on water. And, of course, we're all made of mostly of water, and gives a kind of an analogous picture of how important our emotion is, because it turns out that the neural network in the heart is actually 5,000 times magnetically stronger than that of the brain. And it's our emotions that interface with the morphogenetic field, which creates our versions of reality. And again, as Bashar would say, outer circumstances don't matter. A state of being matters, or your emotional state of being is what's most important. And the second on Bashar's list is oxygen and oxygenation. And certainly if you don't have the opportunity to get outdoors very often, then highly suggest that you get involved with some kind of yogic breathing, or pranayams, as they're called. And that would oxygenate the blood. And we all know that disease has a hard time developing in an oxygenated environment. And which also brings to my mind the whole concept about essential oils. And essential oils aren't overly expensive. I mean, for probably $5 to $10, you can get some essential oils. And when essential oils touch the skin, they go throughout the body within seconds. And they've been known to wipe out all the bacteria in an entire room in a couple hours. So, I mean, to my way of thinking, essential oils should be in, like, every hospital room. Bottom line here is that oxygenation, highly, highly important. Also, Bashar talks about on his list of six is definitely eliminating stress. And I know that's a very difficult one for a lot of people. But certainly to make a conscious effort to minimize your stress levels is a highly beneficial thing to be doing. The next on his list would be exercise. And I guess I would define that as breaking a sweat at least three times a week. And normal exercise gets the blood flowing and definitely highly beneficial with respect to overall foundation of health. And the next on his list would be relation to diet, would be lightening up the diet, which means getting off of meat. And certainly the vibratory signature of meat is definitely not compatible with higher vibration, not to mention detrimental health probabilities. And to my way of thinking, at least, if your goals are to try and distance yourself from the medical, it's a lot harder to do that, maybe impossible if you're going to be a long-time meat eater. So I would definitely, I would consider that with respect to your choices with respect to eating habits. You want to be a vegetarian working towards vegan diet optimally. And the last item on his core foundation would be detoxification. And I would look at that kind of like changing the oil in your car. You change your oil in your car once a year, and maybe once a year do a thorough detoxification. I highly recommend Dr. Schultz's detox programs, and that's at the American Botanical Pharmacy, American Botanical Pharmacy in California. And even Bashar actually recommends his products, which is kind of wild because I think I've only heard Bashar recommend books or products about five times over the last 25 years. And I do also recommend his products. I do their five-day kidney and liver detox, the BAL program. It's they're kind of all-natural herbs and things that making teas and this kind of stuff. And it's a five-day program with basically very light eating on the first couple of days with the three-day juice fast in between and then back to light eating again. And they're highly effective. A little bit pricey, I guess, if you want to consider about, no, I don't know, $75 for a thorough, let's say, kidney detox or each of his programs are they're about $75 each, but to my way of thinking, well worth the money. If you want to go to a little cheaper way, trying to detox metals out of your system because even things like cornflakes have metal in them these days, and all these metals are not good for us. I would suggest bentonite clay. So all you need to do, and that's like maybe you can get a couple pounds of that for like $10. And you take the clay, mix it in with some water, and do it in the morning for a couple weeks in a row, and it'll help remove metals from your system. In fact, a lot of these kids with autism due to their personal ability not to be able to handle too much toxicity, like some of the mercury and things that are put in vaccinations. I know that there's actually been groups of mothers that have had their kids bathe in bentonite clay with the temperature of the water about 102 degrees and definitely doing the a lot of the mixing of the clay with water and taking it internally. And in fact, some of these groups have actually shut down because the kids were cured. So that's a tip for a lot of people, I think. And so this whole concept of detoxification certainly is has become an important factor. And Bashar says that 99.9% of all illnesses can be totally avoided by utilizing these basic six concepts. And I would concur. I guess for me personally, I'd probably throw in a seventh, and that's get plenty of sunlight, because sunlight's a major source of vitamin D, vitamin D being also the trigger to the immune system. And certainly we know that especially those people who have been afflicted with cancer, typically people with that condition have a weakened immune system, and definitely low in vitamin D. And so thus right there, we can see, you know, a connection. And as well, if anybody is in that particular condition, should not be eating sugar, you know, sugar being the optimum environment for cancer cells. And I'd also like to present, I've brought this up on ET Yoga before, but there are some amazing discoveries, actually, that Dr. Nina, a Japanese researcher, he studied more than 500 different antioxidants over a period of 30 years, and he found the most powerful and effective antioxidant of all those tested is an ancient Ayurvedic herbal preparation called Amrit Kalash. And that's Amritkalash. Research shows that the antioxidant capabilities of Amrit Kalash are at least 25,000 times more powerful than that of vitamin C and E. And he states that taking it is like supplying you with a Star Wars deflective shield. And this astonishing ambrosia is comprised of 44 different herbs and fruits that seem to work synergistically, enhancing the natural strength of one's and others' antioxidants. And another, what I find is fairly amazing, is this called Haritaki, Haritaki, and it is called by Swami Nityananda, the drink of the gods. And this wonder medicine removes the body's toxins in a natural way. It makes one more energetic. It also purifies the blood and removes fat residues from the arteries and veins. It heals diabetes, hypertension, and heart problems, and helps the vision to become sharp. And no wonder, it provides the body with 300% more oxygen, and taking it is equivalent to 2 hours of pranayama. And Swami Nityananda suggests one tablespoon before going to bed. And those products, I've personally have used them, and you can get them directly from India for, I think, about $30, $30, $35. So they're not overly expensive, but highly, highly beneficial. I'd like at this time to give my best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'd like to now close the program out by sharing with you the Who Am I technique, which is called the Vichara by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And basically, the whole concept here is to try to put your full attention in your third eye or ajna center and become that spot. And once you become that spot, you then ask the question, who am I? And you can do that a few times, several times, rapidly, slowly. You can kind of get a feel for what you think works for you. And the whole idea here is that when you ask the question, the answer will come. And hopefully the answer will come in the form of an experience. And thus the process would be to become that spot in the center of your forehead and asking the question, who am I? And then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of